Well, welcome out to Pentecost. I hope that you understand what Pentecost is all about. And I hope your life has changed when you leave here this morning. Father, I just thank you and I praise you and I give you honor and I give you glory. Father, as in the book of Acts, when your spirit fell upon your people, we are believing that you're going to do the same here this morning. Change and rearrange, Father God. Bring your children to the place you would have them to be. And Father God, open up their spiritual ears and let them hear what thus saith the Lord. And Father God, as the seed goes down into their spirit, I plead the blood of Jesus over it that the enemy cannot steal it. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, all across the world, people are celebrating Pentecost, but some don't really understand what they're celebrating. And what we need is a true Pentecost. I hear stories about how people are still struggling with their sins and whatever else you're struggling with. And you cry out to people, pray for me. But really what you need to do is cry out for the Holy Spirit to just take full and total and complete control. And he's the one that's going to change you. Our prayers aren't going to change you. Our prayers go up to heaven, but they're not going to change you. It's the Holy Spirit that's going to change you. And if you're still struggling with the same sin or same symptoms that you've been struggling with for the last 5 years, then what you need is more of the Holy Spirit. And the only way you're going to be a true witness is by being filled full of the Holy Spirit. If you don't believe in the Holy Spirit, then why do you even believe Jesus is alive? Why do you even come into the house of God? You have to ask yourself these questions. He's part of the Godhead. And if we're going to receive God and Jesus, we have to receive the Holy Spirit. And a lot of churches don't receive the Holy Spirit. But saints, I want you to, each and every one of you, know you have to have the Holy Spirit if you're going to make it. You won't be able to stay out of sin without the Holy Spirit. So I've entitled this A Purpose and Power of Pentecost. The modern-day church, for the most part, has lost the power of God. If you don't believe that, then look around and see the sin that's in the house of God. Just like Samson in the Bible, they don't know that the Spirit of God has left them. They still have the form of religion, but have no power. But it is a new day of restoration, because God has promised us that he has brought restoration into his body. So it's not too late. God, as you cry out to God, he can still restore what the palmer cankerworm has stolen. All right, what is the purpose and power of Pentecost, and what is Pentecost? The word Pentecost designates the 50th day after Passover, which was a feast day. It was on the day in the book of Acts that the Holy Spirit was poured out on 120 followers of Christ who were gathered in an upper room in Jerusalem. It was on this day that the church was born in a blaze of glory. See this, and I know that in this 40-year dispensation that we're in right now, that this is what God is doing once again. He is bringing back the glory of the Holy Spirit, and the church is going to be on fire for heaven. Dr. Jerry Vine stated, the average Christian and the average church are somewhere bogged down between Calvary and Pentecost. They have been to Calvary for pardon, but they have not been to Pentecost for power. Now, Bethlehem means God with us. Calvary means God for us. But Pentecost means God in us. Dr. Vines further stated, those statements transformed my understanding of the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. I believe that the average Christian is much like the Ephesian believers when the Apostle Paul came to them in Acts 19:2 and said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They replied that they didn't even know that there was a Holy Spirit. Many Christians do not understand the role of the Holy Spirit, and they have not appropriated the power of the Holy Spirit in their own personal life. Now, if you're as old as I am, whenever you was born again, nobody told you that there was such a thing as a Holy Spirit. Well, we weren't born again then. We just received Jesus, and nobody ever told us there was a Holy Spirit. And this is what's wrong with the older people in the body of Christ. They're still plugging along with God and Jesus, and they do not have the Holy Spirit. And this is why God is raising up a brand new generation of believers who are going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit immediately. And he's going to send them forth with signs, wonders, and miracles and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. All right? Because the church, the older church, you know, the older people in the church, they don't want to change. And Pentecost means change also. You have to change if you're going to be used by God. And I don't care where you've been, what you've done, you know, in your walk with God from, you know, up until now. But if you don't have the Holy Spirit in its fullness, then you need that. And if you don't understand the function of the Holy Spirit, then get in your word and read about the Holy Spirit and understand that exactly what he does in your life. Now, when I was born again, I didn't know anything about the Holy Spirit. And God had me open up a church, and I had people come to the church and say, "We're going to stare because we know what the Spirit is when we see it." And I didn't even know what they were talking about. I just knew God was doing signs, wonders, and miracles through me. But I didn't even at that point, even starting a church, know what the Holy Spirit's function was. But if you allow God to, he will teach you all things. You don't have to rely on man and woman. If you allow God to, he will teach you all things. All right, God is saying, is that word? Yeah, God is saying what we need today is, again, the wind and the flame of Pentecost. Did you know that God pulled away his Holy Spirit from the church about 9-10 years ago? Because he said they're just trampling over the blood of Jesus and they're mocking the Holy Spirit. Says, "I'm just going to pull my spirit out." And the church went through over 10 years of dryness, whether you know it or not. Now, if you don't know about the Spirit, you didn't know that. You just were still going to church thinking everything was fine. But we went through a terrible time of dryness without the Holy Spirit, with the signs, wonders, and miracles. Now God is bringing them back into the house of God. We need to understand that Pentecost is not a denomination, but is an experience every blood-bought child of God should receive. We are privileged to live in a generation when God is again, pouring out his Spirit in a mighty way. Do you understand that without this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that harvest out there is not going to be harvested? It's going to be harvested through the Holy Spirit just like it was in Acts. Are you understanding this? So if you think God is going to use you in a mighty way and you're still not going to receive the Holy Spirit and walk in the Spirit, then you are deceived. Because you have to be filled with the Spirit of God. You have to be walking in the Spirit. And God told us years ago, Spirit is calling unto Spirit. Either you bowed your knees to the call of the Holy Spirit or you didn't. We are privileged to live in a generation when God is again pouring out his Spirit in a mighty way. In Acts 1:4 it says, "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You have heard from me.'" And this is Jesus talking, all right? "For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?' And he said to them, 'It is not for you to know times or seasons which your Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth.'" You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. But when you receive that power of the Holy Spirit, you have to then educate yourself in the Holy Spirit, and you have to hold on for dear life to the Holy Spirit, because the enemy's going to come and try to steal him from you. He's going to try to make you believe you never really received the Holy Spirit. Are you listening here? I've been watching that happen when we baptize in our swimming pool at home. The Holy Spirit falls down and the people go out in the Spirit. They even speak in tongues. They even say they see the angels and everything else. But it isn't a month later. They're just right back to their old sin nature. See, they were endued with power, but they didn't hold on to it. They let their sin nature control instead of the Spirit of God control. The rain of the Holy Spirit is falling on the dry religious ground of our way to give refreshing to weary-hearted Christians and also to prepare the fruit of the earth for harvest. Now, So repeat that. The rain of the Holy Spirit is falling on the dry religious ground of our day to give refreshing to weary-hearted Christians and also to prepare the fruit of the earth for harvest. If you're full of the Holy Spirit, you can revive another child of God. You can go to them, pray with them, lay hands on them, and stir up that gift of the Holy Spirit. Stir up those living waters, and they'll be refreshed. The promise of Pentecost. In Peter's sermon in Acts 2, 38 and 39, Peter replied, "Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." John the Baptist came preaching, repent. Jesus came preaching, repent. And Peter said to them, repent. This is what Pentecost is all about too. Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. See, unless you repent, you're not going to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit's a gentleman, and he's not going to push his way into your life. You're going to have to really repent and start living a Christian life, a holy life, a righteous life, and then the Holy Spirit will abide within you, and he will lead, guide, and direct you. But if you insist upon staying in your sin nature, the Holy Spirit's going to step aside and let you have your way. That's just how it works. And verse 39 says, "For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call." He said the promise of the gift of the Holy Spirit is for everyone, just not for a select few. Everyone is able to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. In effect, he said, this outpouring of the Spirit is not a special blessing for a special few in a special age. See, that it just wasn't from the book of Acts. It's from the book of Acts on down to the ages. The promise of the Holy Spirit is for all people who receive the call to repentance. Dr. John Rice said there is an experience after salvation called the baptism with this Holy Spirit. Acts 2, 1, 3, what happened to Jesus? He was baptized, and then the Spirit, the dove came, ascended down upon him, did it not? After he was baptized, then he received. Acts 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. You know, remember a couple of years ago, God kept saying to us, don't you hear the wind? Don't you hear the wind? We didn't hear the wind, so therefore it didn't fill the whole house. Are you understanding that? We did not have spiritual ears to hear the spiritual wind. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So right then and there, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you get the gift of other tongues. Somebody doesn't have to come around and talk you into it. It should come with, isn't that what it says here? All right, exactly what was the promise of Pentecost? It was the pouring out of the Holy Spirit upon all flesh, men, women, and children. And Luke 24, I remember one time, years ago in Toronto, the Spirit hit a church, but it hit the nursery upstairs. And they couldn't even get in the doors of the nursery. The glory was so strong around that room. And they could hear the children in there crying and speaking in tongues. And when they finally got to them, the children came out, and they were so overwhelmed with the Holy Spirit that they had to carry their children out to their cars and take them home. But just the nursery got hit. I thought that was awesome. You know, these young kids. And the story goes that the kids stayed anointed with the Holy Spirit. And the kids prophesied, you know, and they laid hands on the sick. That signs, wonders, and miracles followed these kids wherever they went. All right? Exactly what was the promise of Pentecost? It was the pouring out of the Holy Spirit upon all flesh, men, women, and children. How many of you tell your children to expect the Holy Spirit to fall on them? You should be telling your children all the time about, you should be talking to them about the Godhead. You should be telling them how what God wants, you know, what Jesus wants. You need to tell them how the Holy Spirit wants to fall upon them and take control of them. How are they going to know if you don't tell them? We let our kids carry on and act up, and really what we need to do is teach them in the ways of the Lord. If you ever see little Isaiah, he'll throw both of his hands up sometimes. At home, you know, he'll be walking through the house, all of a sudden he throws his hands up and starts singing Christian songs. He knows them by heart because the Spirit of God hits him. You know? But he does that because he's been taught that. I was never taught so I didn't know. You were never taught so you didn't know, right? We only can do what we've been taught. The promise fulfilled 10 days after Jesus ascended into heaven. I'm sorry, we have to read Luke 24:49. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Maybe some of you need to get in a prayer closet and stay there until the Holy Spirit really ascends upon you. Well, A.A. Allen, remember his story? He knew that the power wasn't strong enough on him. He was an evangelist, so he put himself in a closet. He told his wife, "Don't bother me. I'm not coming out for anything until I hear from God and the Spirit hits me." He stayed there. I forgot how many days, but he stayed in there. But when he came out, he was endued with more power than when he went in. See, we just keep on going around doing our thing. Oh, God, you feel me. You feel me. No, he wants you to have a personal encounter with him. He wants you to take personal time with him and let him fill you with his Spirit. Let him give you a fresh new infilling of the Holy Spirit. I've been studying this now for over a week, and last night I was laying in bed, and all of a sudden I just started uncontrollably crying because I had been crying out, "God, I need more of you and less of myself." And just all of a sudden, you know, I just started weeping and he started talking to me. And I had a powerful time with the Father. But only because I was crying out to him, because I knew I didn't have what I needed to do the thing, to accomplish the things he's called me to do. So you have to be honest with yourself. Somewhere I had a leak. And some of that power leaked out. And that's what I told God. I said, I need that hole plugged up and I need the power back again. All right. If you're not honest with yourself, you're never going to receive anything. And you're never going to do the great exploits God's called you to do. Now, the promise fulfilled. 10 days after Jesus ascended into heaven, he sent the promise of the Father, and the faithful ones who had obeyed and waited in the upper room were filled with the Holy Spirit. It says the faithful ones who stayed. I believe there was people there that got tired of waiting. They didn't say how long they had to wait. But same way in the body of Christ, oh, how much longer do I have to sit here and go through this stuff? You're not going to receive anything. If you're tarrying, then you're expecting God to move upon you. And it doesn't matter how long it takes for him to move, you're going to stay there until he does something for you. Peter's sermon declared, this is it. This is a fulfillment of the promise. The purpose of Pentecost. One word portrays the purpose of Pentecost, and that's harvest. Harvest is at the heart of Pentecost. Joel 2:23 says, "Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain faithfully, and he will cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. The threshing floor shall be full of wheat, and the vat shall overflow with new wine and oil, so I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten." These are the things that God is doing in the body of Christ right now. He's going to come into the churches whenever you least expect it. You've been crying out for it and crying out for it and waiting for it and waiting for it, and you're still crying out for it. And one, you know, each day you think this is going to be the day, but then all of a sudden one day he's going to come and great marvelous things are going to happen. So keep expecting. Don't put down your expector. Keep expecting God's Holy Spirit to ascend upon you in a mighty way. Two things are necessary for the harvest. Number one, the early or former rain, which prepared the soil for the planting at seed time. And number two, latter rain, which matured the crop for harvest. It is time to reap the harvest. We've had the former and the latter rain. Now it's time to reap the harvest. The rain of the Holy Spirit is preparing the fruit of the earth for the harvest. Are you listening to this? With all this rain we've been having the other day, I said, God, you're going to rot the seed. Amen. I was told that the farmers can't get into the fields, and if they could, the seed would rot. So, God, we've had the former latter rain, and now we've been believing, we've been expecting, and you know, and you've matured us, and you've done all these things to us, and now we want the outpouring of your Spirit in a mighty way. You know, God told me, don't grow weary in telling them my glory's coming, but I really have to repent every now and then. I said, God, come on now. Amen. It's been over 8 years. But, you know, God is God. It is time to reap the harvest. The rain of the Holy Spirit is preparing the fruit of the earth for the harvest. On the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out, Peter cast a net and 3,000 souls got saved and came into the kingdom. Now, I was reading an article where God said the people, the churches are not ready to receive the harvest. Are you listening? He said the people in my churches, my people are not ready to minister to the harvest. Come on. That's a shame. That's a shame. God has not given us the Holy Spirit to enjoy alone while the world around us rushes on toward hell. Come on. We do not have the privilege of forgetting the needs of lost people, the people God loves, the people Christ died for, the people Christ commanded us to evangelize. We cannot forget. You being sent to this earth was all about souls. We were sent here to win souls for God. And the church has done a poor job of winning souls for God. I know when I used to sit in the seat, I had people in church every Sunday with me. Now, whether they stayed or not is a different story, but at least I brought them. You know, I went out there and evangelized them and brought them in. It was up to them what they did with what they heard. So where are the people you're supposed to be evangelizing? Where are the people that you're bringing in? You know, just think about it. You bring yourself. Well, they just don't want to come. Well, at least you was out there trying. You planted the seed. Somebody else can come along and water, and they'll go to church somewhere, but at least plant the seed. Souls are hanging in the balance. Some will fall and topple into hell unless we go in the power of the Spirit and rescue them. Remember, that's what God told me when he first called me. The church is going to hell in a handbasket. And he said, many you'll pull right out of the very throes of the fire. And that has been the case. What are you doing? Are you ministering to people? Are you staying full of the Spirit? Are you walking in the Spirit? And are you pulling them out of hell? Or are you just letting them fall in there? The power of Pentecost in Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. I'm going to tell you right now, because God just said it, I don't care how much you prophesy, that doesn't mean you're full of the Spirit. You know, and God just tell me right now, sometimes when you lay hands on somebody, that person really needs what you laid hands on them for, and no power was in you, but God wanted to minister to that person you laid hands on. And he said, the church is walking around in self-deception. You think you've got it all and you have nothing. If you have it all, why are you still sinning? Are you listening? If you really had the power of the Holy Spirit, you wouldn't be out there sinning. You just wouldn't. Because the Spirit would tell you, no, no, no. How many of you went to do something and the Holy Spirit said, don't do that. Yeah, don't turn that way. Turn this way. Be quiet. Be still. You listen to that still small voice of the Holy Spirit, right? You know, little Isaiah came to me yesterday and he said, a certain member of the family, are they going to go to heaven? I said, well, honey, I don't know. I do. I said, how do you know? Well, they do drugs and they smoke and they cuss, so they're not going to go to heaven. You know? And I said, are you going to go to heaven? He said, absolutely. Because I'm not going to swear, and I'm not going to cuss, and I'm not going to smoke, and I'm not going to do drugs. See, he's been taught, and he listens, and you know, they listen. He goes out on my computer and puts on Christian songs, you know, songs we sing, and he listens to them. Then he sings them all through the house, you know, gets that drum, and beats that drum. 11 o'clock at night, if you can't beat the drum at 11 o'clock at night, you'll have me killed. But what are your kids doing? Are they going around they know who's going to go to heaven and who's going to go to hell. And I told him, I said, no, you can't judge people, honey. I said, because they might change and then they'll go to heaven. But right now, he said, if they die, that just sounds just like me. And I tell him, I said, you know, right now, if I'm upset with him, right now, if I go to hell, I mean, if I die, I'd go to hell because I'm upset with you. I said, I'm not supposed to be upset like this. It says, be angry and sin not. Sometimes I get angry. Amen. And I'm honest with them. Are you honest with your children? Are you letting them see that you're not all that and then some? Are you letting them see that you're human? That still doesn't permit you to go around acting like the devil. All right? And let your kids get away with anything they want to do isn't godly either. The Bible says train your children up in the ways that they should go. Right? And the way they should go is what the Word of God says. Do you notice an awful lot of out there about honoring the Father right now? Honor your Father so that life will go well with you. There's children don't even honor their fathers no more. Or their mothers because they think they know it all. There's no anointing. The power of the Spirit isn't in them. Amen. You cannot go out and witness if you don't have the Holy Spirit in power. Religious tradition robs people and churches of the power of God and leaves them grinding at the millstone like Samson in weakness and defeat. We start out about Samson. God has spoken and said, I am bringing total restoration to the church. God is restoring the power of the Spirit to the church. And this is what he's told us now for how many years? 4 or 5 years. I'm bringing it back into the house of God. And he's been trying to get us ready to be vessels that can carry the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you ever think that that's why you don't have the power in its fullness? Because your vessel's not ready yet. It can't carry it. That it would destroy you. Well, that's a shame. Because your vessel should be ready to carry the power. It really should. Let's look at 3 major powers of Pentecost. Number 1 is worshiping power. The Holy Spirit will help you to worship God in spirit and in truth. The chief aim of man is to worship God. But the devil has deceived people concerning worship. Real worship demands participation. The Holy Spirit will help you to worship God in the Spirit. He will help you lift your soul to God and touch His heart with your heart. The reason why you can't worship is you don't have the Holy Spirit. And so you're just sitting there thinking, oh God, how much longer do we have to do this now? Gabriel said, how many more songs are we going to sing? Let me see the paper. You know, there's a Holy Spirit's not on him. He doesn't want to sit there and listen to the songs. Yeah, you're sit at home and play stupid games for hours, right? Come on, facts are facts. If you had the Holy Spirit in you, you wouldn't care how long we sang. You'd want to sing. And you'd participate in the singing. You wouldn't just sit there and wonder when it's going to end. Oh, they're singing that song. You wouldn't, you know, if you were full of the Holy Spirit, you wouldn't care what song we sang. Because you're so full of power, you just want to worship. I was, you know, listening for songs for praise and worship today, and I listened to them for 2 or 3 days and nights, and I told Nancy, I got the song service together, said, I don't even like the song services right now. I've listened to these songs so much. And then I remember Chris Tomlin, somebody asked him, they were interviewing, they said, do you listen to your songs? He said, absolutely not. He said, practice knows this, my songs, we go over and over and over as much, I don't even want to hear them again. You know. But doesn't mean they're not anointed, you know. And I love our song services, but when I'm putting it together, I really just don't want to hear them anymore. I've heard them too many times. All right, then we have warning power. The Holy Spirit will help you warn people of the dangers of hell and the lake of fire. How can people claim to love God and serve God when they have no concern for lost people around them? When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, there will be a holy drive within you to point people to Christ so they can be delivered and set free. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, there will be a holy drive within you to point people to Christ so they can be delivered and set free. I started condemning my own self because I'm always telling people, if you don't get it right, you're going to go to hell. It just pops out, you know, just pops out. Now I know why. It's the Holy Spirit within me that wants to let them know you have to get your life together. Or you're not going to make heaven your home. John the Baptist came saying it. Jesus came saying it. The Holy Spirit came saying it. The disciples said it. So why can't we say it? Come on. You know, if I don't tell you that you're in sin and I know it and I don't tell you about it and you die in your sin, whenever I stand before God, your blood is on my hands and I'm not going to carry it. None of you are going to keep me out of heaven. And that's the way you need to feel. I mean, you know, you have to tell them the truth. And if you tell them the truth in the Holy Spirit, it won't be harsh. It'll be anointed, and it might make them mad. It will make them mad. It'll make them mad, but yet it'll go, and they'll think about that. They really will think about that. All right, then. C is witnessing power in Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, you can be a fearless, flaming witness for Christ. You'll be bold. Instead of being weak, vacillating, and scared of standing up for Christ, the Holy Spirit will take the chicken out of your life and will set you free from fear. You're going to be bold. People in my house need to be saved, all right? They're backslid bad. And I'm constantly telling them about themselves. Don't you get tired of saying that? They say, I said, no. I'd rather keep saying that and see you go to heaven than know that you're in hell and burning in fire. If you don't want me to say it, then get right. Right? All right, the power of the Holy Spirit will give you boldness, confidence, and courage to witness for Christ and share your faith with others. Come on. Matthew 3, are you bold? Can you share your faith with others and not be condemned yourself, knowing that you're not living a life that, that God said it, with this pulpit, if you're not going to live the life, then don't teach it. So anybody stands around this pulpit, you better be living what you teach or you're in trouble. And I really have a hard time with people preaching behind this pulpit because I know some are not living the life that they should be living. And I don't want to be sitting down and watch you drop dead. Amen. I don't want you to be like Ananias and Sapphira. Matthew 3 verse 1 says, in those days John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Now John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Why do you think that we're preaching repentance right now? Because the second coming of Jesus Christ is right at hand. And I know they're prophesying 100 years down the road what's going to be happening. But if I was you, I'd be living each and every day like that was the last day of your life. I really would. Nobody knows when Jesus is coming, but we do see the signs, right? And we can look around about us and see what's going on, right? So please have eyes to see and ears to hear and make sure your spirit man is wide open for God to speak to you and let you know what's going on. Jesus is God's special gift for the world, for the sinner, in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world. He didn't say the church. He said the world. So that's everybody, just not the church. The Holy Spirit is God's special gift for the Christian. Jesus said in Luke 11:3, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Have you asked for the Holy Spirit, God to give you the Holy Spirit in all of his fullness? If you haven't, start taking time. Lay out before, instead of going to McDonald's or somebody to eat, why don't you stay home and lay on the floor in your face and ask the Holy Spirit to come and fill you full of his presence. Receiving Jesus gave you power to be a child of God, but without the Holy Spirit, you cannot live. That's the saved life. I went to church one time up in New Jersey with somebody. They had a special speaker up there, and somebody walked up and said to that person, you don't have the Holy Spirit at all, period. I'm thinking, really now? I mean, didn't say it to me, but said somebody's with me. That totally shocked me. I thought because he was born again, they had the Holy Spirit, but this person couldn't get out of their sin nature because they didn't have the Holy Spirit in them. So then we started working on getting them full of the Holy Spirit so they could then have something to fight with. Receiving Jesus gave you power. Well, I said that. Receiving the Holy Spirit will give you power to serve Christ by being his anointed witness. Never be satisfied until you receive the promise. Reach out with arms open wide in faith and say, yes, Lord, I take what you give. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. I read a prophecy where God said the church must repent for not walking in the kingdom of heaven. And, you know, I feel sorry for the Lighthouse Church because how many years ago did God call us up into the third heaven? And I know all you didn't go. And he said that the church must repent for not walking in the kingdom of heaven. God invited this church to get out of this worldly, carnal world and go up into the third heaven where we could fight the enemies, where the atmosphere was charged with God himself, but we didn't go. Some went, some didn't. And now you wonder why you're fighting the way you are. You weren't ready then to go, and I don't know when God's going to come around and call you again. That's the way God works. He opens a door. If you don't walk through it, then you have to wait until he comes around to open that door all over again. In the meantime, you're struggling. Believe me, you're struggling. 1 John 2:15 says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. So if you're still dealing with lust of the flesh, or lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, you don't have the Spirit of God in you. And the world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. The Father said the church needs to repent for not walking in the kingdom of heaven on earth. The church is not walking in the authority God has given us. He's given us authority and power over all things. All things, just not one or two, but all things. We do not have to do the things we're doing. We just don't, saints. Don't. All right, the other night I said, whenever people say to me, well, the devil made me do it. I said, no, he didn't. You do it because you want to. And I went home and I don't know if it was God or what, but I kept thinking, well, you know, there are some people who are so bound up with spirits. They have voice telling them what to do. And they do what the voices say because those voices control them. But I wasn't talking about that type of person. I was talking about people who are saying they're filled with the Spirit and are just going out there and saying, well, the devil made me do it. No, because this is what God told me. The devil doesn't make you, a child of God, do anything. You do it because you like to do it. All right? And so don't blame it on the devil when it's you yourself doing it. But there is people, I know a person who, right now whose voice is telling all the time to kill people and to do this and to do that. And, you know, and I pray for that person all the time, keep covered in blood because we're in my home. But I would do it anyhow. And I hear them crying and screaming and I'll go to them and pray over them because the voices are telling them to do terrible things. And he does not want to do them. But these voices are really bad and really driving. So, you know, I know that does happen. We as a church are constantly submitting to the things of the world and the strongholds of the enemy that come from the second heavens. That's why God said, come to the third. Yet Ephesians 2:6 tells us that he has already raised us up and seated us with him in the heavenly realms. The reason why he called us up into third heaven, because this is where we're supposed to be seated, but he knows the church is not seated there, so he invited the Lighthouse Church to come up into the third heaven, where you're supposed to be all the time. Some of you are still working in the second realm, and it's going to take you out. When John the Baptist was making a way for Jesus to come on the scene and impact the earth, he asked the people to get their mind right. He was warning them that they were going to see some things that are different now that the Son of God was on the earth. They needed to think different, so he called for repentance. The church still doesn't want to change. This church is not thinking differently. And God told us church is not going to be as usual. Church is going to be totally, completely different. But the body of Christ wants what they had, and they don't want the new that God is bringing. We've had people leaving here saying, the only thing you minister to is the millennials. Is that what they call them? I said, that's not true. I said, that's not true. I'm just giving whatever God wants me to give. You know, why do you think that way? because you don't want to change. You're in a rut. And you like that rut. And it bothers you to hear me say, hear God say, you have to change. Church is changing. It's changing radically. All right? I see some things going on that aren't God, too, in churches. Saying, well, God said we had to change. Then when Jesus came on the scene, well, and you know, John the Baptist said we need to be thinking different. Then when Jesus came on the scene, he said in Matthew 4:17, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In other words, Jesus was there. And Jesus is saying he has come, and so has the kingdom of heaven now. He was telling them, get your mind straight because I am here now. Now, since he has risen, he tells us the same thing. As his church is the body, and he gave us kingdom authority, as he states in Luke 9, verse 1, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. Are you his disciple? Are you walking in the fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit? Then he gave you power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. You know, I followed Jay Bartlett, and I find out now that whenever he does deliverance, he doesn't have to do nothing because he's so full of this power of God, you know, the power of the Holy Spirit, that God just, the angels just come in there and just clean the place up, just clean the people up. And get, it's because of his walk with God. And I read yesterday where, you know, he was holding a meeting. I forgot where, but anyhow, the media came in there and took pictures, saw it firsthand, and now he's getting all this free, you know, advertisement on the media about how the power of God is so strong in his meetings that he doesn't even have to say, come out. You know, they just jump out of him. Why? Because the leader is full of the Holy Spirit and power, and God is ministering through him and doing great signs, wonders, and miracles. Are you listening? All right, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God, and that is repentance, and to heal the sick. This is what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be preaching the kingdom of God and healing the sick. All right? Now, as Jesus walked, he preached, and we as a church are in him now. We are forgiven, we are redeemed, we are resurrected in him. Yet we don't act like this has taken place at all. We are still messing with lower level devils and having our lives ruled by fear, shame, guilt, worry, and anxiety. Why? Because we have not yet experienced or understand the power of the Holy Spirit that is within us. Now, I was just explaining to somebody last night that the devil really, you know, God told me this was going to happen, but the devil's really working on me overtime. And right now, I'm comparing myself to other people. I've never done that in my life. And God spoke to me, his daughter, quit comparing yourself to other people. You are you, and I'm using you the way I want to use you. Don't worry about other people. You know, and I've even been concerned, what are people saying about me? And I never do that. So God told me the devil was going to come at me like he never had before, and he's never come at me this way. So I have to yield to the Holy Spirit. You lead, you guide, you direct even my thought life. Not just my steps, my thought life. So that the enemy can't come in and torment me the way he has and plaguing me. Are you understanding this? And this is what you have to do too when you know the devil's at you and you know that there's no reason for you even to do that. Then the enemy's at you as hard as he can be, and you have to submit yourself to the Holy Spirit and let him lead God and direct you. Let him speak into your life. You know, let him do what he does best. And he leads you, and that what he does is lead you on the path that God would have you go on. Romans 14:17 says, for the kingdom of God does not mean eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. We went in that 40-day fast. Some people thought that was horrible. Made all kind of excuses why you just couldn't quit eating. And some excuses were valid, but others weren't. But that's okay. That was your first experience at it. Now, the next time God asks you to do it, he expects a more grown-up person. All right, so when you do it the first time around, he really doesn't beat you over the head with a stick. He just says, well done, my good and faithful servant. At least you try to do something. you know, no matter how you did it. And I knew the ones who were really doing it because I could see the glory on your faces. Your faces just shone with the glory of God. That why could you do that? Because the Holy Spirit was in you. And the Holy Spirit was giving you power to go ahead and stay on the fast. That's what was happening. But if you didn't have the Holy Spirit in his fullness and power, then you couldn't do that. You were tempted to go back to your eating or your smoking or your drinking or whatever. And so if that was you, then you know that you don't have enough of the Holy Spirit in you. And you need to ask the Holy Spirit to come and fill you up to overflowing. All right? Pentecost is all about witnessing. Pentecost is all about the harvest. But Pentecost, foremost, right now in the body of Christ today, I'm not talking about in the book of Acts, is you being full of the Holy Spirit. Well, that's what happened in the book of Acts. First of all, they had to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they could go and do the signs, wonders, and miracles. All right? So what we're going to do today is it's time for you to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. You might have the Holy Spirit in you, do have the Holy Spirit in you, but now you need that power. Where, first of all, you need power for yourself, where you won't get all Twitter-pated all the time. You won't get all twisted inside out because somebody didn't say the right thing or look the right way. You know, first of all, you need it for yourself so yourself can be cleaned up. And then you need it so you can go out and you can heal the sick. All right? So if you really want to receive the power of the Holy Spirit this morning, the altar is open for you to receive that power. And I don't want no condemnation about this teaching either. The truth will set you free. And whom the Son sets free is free indeed.